Thank you very much, April. Time to chat with this man. Yeah, this reminds me because it's State Cup time and he jumps around. They couldn't contain him, Brian. They could not lay a lace on him. The great Adam Peacock. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. That's Mick Davis summed up that song beautifully. You're in a nightclub, you're steaming, you're whatever's happening, and that song comes on, everything stops, and you turn around to your mates and you start jumping up and down and drinking your hand. Yeah.
Did you know that the lead singer is Uncle Cracker?
No. Yeah. No. Everlast.
Really? Everlast. Mm. Everlast, sorry. You got me there.
Wow.
So the lead singer, yeah.
And at said time when you're jumping around, Adam, life is just good, isn't it? There's no concerns about what's happening tomorrow. Life is just good at that precise time.
No, but you're screwed the next day because jumping around with a belly full of a jug of illusions or something like that, generally hyped up about. Remember those?
So good.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling the next day, but in the moment, it's pretty good.
Okay, so they debuted, Brian. Are you into your lawn porn, would you say?
Drop the lawn, yes.
Yeah. No, I that one, didn't you, Jolly Boy?
Yes,
I'm not. I don't have enough lawn.
No.
It's not very good. And people just I've noticed people get out of their cars and just walk straight across. Because I live next door to that she's not stupid, but there's those shops literally next door.
Right.
There's the Bottle-O, the Dr. Death, and my laundromat. So people just walk across.
Gotcha.
And so I've just given
conceded up. Conceded defeat, right. Okay, well, this man here, he has produced Australia's first Saturday Mowers Club. How's it all going so far?
Good. I don't know if in one of those ideas you think spontaneously, you think that's a really good idea, and in 6 weeks' time we're going to look at each other and go, we're absolutely pig sick of talking about grass. But no, we're literally talking about grass growing, which is fantastic. And that's what Saturday morning radio really needs, if we felt. So we just did it. And good response. And people out there on their mowers in the morning and they're listening along, or they've gone for a walk after doing the lawns, or they're about to get some hype for it. It's it's good. Something a bit different.
So, Ads, is it advice or you guys just discuss different types of lawn?
Well, once a week we get a guest on who has something to do in a professional sense of actually being able to grow grass. Like a couple of weeks ago we had Nathan Lyon, who was once a groundsman before he became really good at cricket and decided to make that his life, and it was probably a good choice. But like last week we had a guy on, he's got his own show, he was on the block, and so it's across all walks. And we've had the groundsman from the SCG. He was telling us about the pitch. He's hoping for a bit more bounce this year for the Ashes test than last year when India was suited by the last thing that got served up. So
what have you learned? What has been the main things that you have learned in this time of the Mowers Club that you could pass on to the layman like ourselves?
Feed it. Fertilise. Weed and feed. Brilliant. Get rid of the weeds, the stuff that shouldn't be growing there to make it look well. I've pumped mine full of nitrogen, my front and back, and it looks like a billiard table right now in terms of colour. It's a bit all over the shop in terms of length because it's growing so quickly. It's out of control. But feed it. These months right now, it's peak feed time.
Okay, so I have an issue in my back area because it's shady. So why doesn't it, a little bit of sun hits at about 11 o'clock and then it just goes. But how much sun do I need?
I reckon it's the type of grass that you need.
It's always, the other half grows.
Yeah, because it sees sun. Yeah, I don't think buffalo is that great in the shade.
No, it's not. Okay. You mainly need to move what the shade is. What is the shade? The house?
No, trees. Trees. Next door.
Trees? Oh, that's easy done.
Next door. And where do I get nitrogen? Where do I get nitrogen from?
You just get it from the Mitre 10, Bunnings, whatever. Yeah, it's I'll text you the stuff. I got it sent to me before. It's fantastic stuff.
What, liquid form or is it pellets?
Little pellets.
Yeah.
You just sprinkle it on and then you got the key. And I think Joel touched on this when one of the times he came in. The absolute key is to time it. When you know you're going to get a big dump from above, put it on just before and it does all the work for you, because otherwise you're standing there watering like an idiot for ages.
When you mean dump, you mean rain, right?
Gotcha. Yeah. So, not a big Alsatian coming high.
So, Ads, have you got the sort of, I don't know if it's a canister or what it is, where you sort of just sprinkle it out through this, you rotate the hand around and you sprinkle it out?
That's the feeder.
I do the feed the chooks motion.
Yeah.
Pretty good at that.
You can put the glove on, bang.
I've got to put the glove on. And, away you go.
Righty-o. Well, let's stay in the topic of grass. Western Australia played South Australia, would you believe it or not, on grass. How did that all play out? I understand you called it.
Yeah, last night. It was 5 rain delay. That was fun.
Oh.
Showers, cricket and rain. Not good. But in the end, WA got home. Sean Marsh. 38 years of age, he's still going, and he just went berserk in one of the final overs and got WA home. But it's a good competition because it's the next rung down, and it's the ones who are pushing for Australian selection and players like Josh Phillippe and the like, trying to impress selectors. You've got the T20 team overseas at the moment, and guys like Cameron Green who are going to play the test matches. Cameron Green, by the way, like he's 6'5", 6'6". He feels like Jonty Rhodes. Unbelievable, this guy on the field, how good he is. So he can bat, he can bowl, and he can field. So he's the full package, and hopefully he's fit for the Ashes because England have got their big all-rounder coming all of a sudden.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Ads. What's your thoughts? Do you think mentally he'll hold up?
Yeah, the initial reaction to it all with Ben Stokes getting selected, it's pretty positive. So obviously there's going to be some idiots in the outer full of courage juice like late in the day who are going to give him a serve and start throwing things at him verbally. But I think in a general sense that everyone's pretty pumped about him coming because it looked like it was going to be a fair discrepancy between the two sides. Like there's Joe Root and what else with the bat for England. Now Stokes coming kind of makes it more of a contest. So hopefully not too much of a contest and they actually get a result. But I think it's going to make it a hell of a better series. And I think a lot of the people who just love their cricket are pumped about him coming.
If I want to talk about tennis, right, it's a ding-dong battle, you know, like it's Animo versus State of Rest. And I'm talking about Adam Peacock versus Brett Phillips.
Right? Gotcha.
So take your pick. You can't go wrong. Roger Rashid, he's back there with...
Oh, really?
Yeah, with a few of the others. But anyway, not to discredit him, of course, but you two doyens lead the way. In my humble opinion... Now, what's the state of play here? What do you think, Adam, when it comes to Novak Djokovic, vaccination, Australian Open, etc.?
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to land. I really don't. He'd be pushing behind the scenes for all kinds of things to happen, and he'd be pushing for the ATP to help him out. He'd be in discussions with Craig Tiley, who... Craig Tiley is one of the great politicians when it comes to sports administration. He tries to keep the peace, and he does it very, very well because it's a difficult thing, especially in tennis, with basically you've got 128 contractors on either side of the draw, men's and women's, private contractors, individuals, coming to compete in one event. So to keep everyone happy, it's not like a team event. It's pretty difficult. But there'll be all kinds of things going on behind the scenes to try and get him. But I think that what I'm hearing is that Craig Tiley's even given up trying to convince the Victorian government to relax things. It's like, nah, they've been through that down there. You've got to be vaccinated. You've got to get in. So, I can't see him coming at the moment. It could change if he gets the jab, but at the moment, I think he's going to skip it.
Ads, how's he received on tour by the other players, the Joker?
I think it's caught him. Like, as I said before, like it's a bunch of individuals. So everyone kind of gets on with their own business. No one gets too riled up about how the other player behaves or whatever. I've talked to a few of the Aussie boys and they're like, he gets up in the player meetings before Grand Slams, which they all have. And it's like, oh, okay, time to zone out because he's just going to stand up there for 20 minutes and read us a write up and tell us how it should be and all of that. It's like, it's just, they've got better things to do with their time before a Grand Slam, some of them. So, yeah, he's... there's a lot of respect, obviously, for how good he is. Like, no one disputes the fact that he's, at the moment, clearly the best player on the planet and has been for quite some time. And if you get him in the draw, well, yeah, you may as well start making plans for the day after. But in terms of an individual, I think they just let him be because some players he's pretty close to and cordial with, but the rest, it's like, hi, Novak, and then keep walking.
Ole Gunnar Izigonski.
He's in desperate trouble. Mm. There's reports coming out of Europe as they wake up over there right now that Antonio Conte, who is a good bloke, he is the absolute favourite to get the job. He's the ex-Chelsea guy. Managed in Italy. He's managed Italy full stop. He's the type of manager who comes in and he finishes the job. He gets a group of players who are maybe underperforming a little, but they're very, very talented, good squad, which Manchester United have. And he fixes the problems that need to be fixed and they go from third to first. And that's where Manchester United are at the moment. They're nearly there. There's three brilliant teams in the Premier League, Chelsea, Manchester City, Liverpool. Manchester United, not one of them, definitely not after the weekend, the 5-0 pizzling. So I think Ole, and there's an emotional attachment there with Ole because he won what he won with Manchester United. They want it to work. They all like him. He's a really nice guy by all accounts, but it's just not working given what happened on the weekend. So, yeah, he could be in desperate danger and Antonio could be the man.
Well, Fletcher used the analogy of when Freddie departed Roosters and how hard that was at the time because such a club legend and those sorts of things. What about, so there is a school of thought around Manchester United that Sir Alex Ferguson still has a role in and around behind the scenes, and that may be hamstringing Ole. Is that a fair case or no?
Yeah, it's a pretty big shadow, given that everyone who has taken the job since, immediately, and fair enough too, given what Sir Alex did at Manchester United, winning all those trophies and two European Cups and all of that, to Champions League, that whoever was going to follow him, and the immediate guy was David Moyes, and he was on a hiding to nothing. Like, it's just, that was an awful thing. And right then, Sir Alex Ferguson stepped right away and said, no, I've got to let this guy try and do his job. I can't be the shadow. I can't be seen to be advising him, or advising the board or whatever. But since, and he had a stroke, and he was in a pretty bad way for a while there, but he's got back, he's got his head, and now he's going to games, and you saw that famous shot of him on the weekend of him looking like he'd been told that Christmas was off. So, yeah, he's there. He's thereabouts. He had a big part to play in Ronaldo coming back to the club, got in his ear, and, yeah, he's the shadow's there, but it's not like he's going to take over. He's gone. Those days are gone. But it's more an advisory role, and, yeah, he'd be playing a bit of a part in what's going to go on in the near future with Manchester United.
Adam, I found something quite interesting about Paul Scholes when he was gnawing on his daughter's toenails. Yeah, it's gone viral. So she's 20.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've, are you across this? Have you ever done this?
Yeah, I am.
Would you do this?
No, it's odd. No way.
It's odd, isn't it?
Not in a million years. I'd never do that to another human being.
No.
Never.
Okay. Would you do it yourself?
Yeah. I don't think I can.
No. Now, I found it extremely odd. I found it a really, really odd thing to, for her to, first of all, post it.
Yeah.
And for him to be doing it, and he was enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think laterally, don't you, Brian? And you give things a go. Like, you never wanted to say, no, I'm closing my mind to that straight away. What did you first think when you saw
my girls were little, and you can't use clippers or scissors, you bite their nails. Not their toenails, but you use their fingernails.
Those little paper thin nails, boost, off they come.
Yeah. But when she was lying back on the lounge and he was like giving her a foot massage, which is, I mean, it's fair enough. And then he was just getting into it. Like, it was all like, it was just, and I don't mind feet, but you can't be doing that. No. I found it Bob Crane-like.
My eldest daughter's trying to get me to, is it a pedicure?
Yeah.
And it's more my underfeet.
Oh, you're going to shave all the hardness off?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Why is that?
Because it's painful.
Oh, okay. I thought it'd be
nice. Under your feet?
Yeah. You know how it sort of hardens up under your feet a bit there?
But that's summer feet, so you can walk.
Correct.
Across car parks and just be a hell man and like not even flinch and it's like 400 degrees, but you're like, no, I've got my summer feet in.
Sorry, darling.
No.
It's nature's way, isn't it? It's nature's way. Never mind. I was being open-minded there, Adam. But anyway, you have got the Saturday Mowers Club with Adam and Nick Davis. You can hear that every Saturday morning from 9 a.m.
I like the sound of this.
It's great.
I'm usually listening to Rage, but I'm going to start listening to you guys.
Saturday. 3 hours of absolute dribble.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
I'm used to that.
Yeah, welcome to Drive with Joel and Fletch. Good on you, mate. We'll chat on Saturday.
Have a good one.
There he is, Adam Peacock from the Mowers Club.